Bibles at this time, and we'll open them up to actually the Matthew 6 passage, Matthew 6, and you can kind of write that in your notes there if you want. And if you didn't get a copy of a little handout, there's some of these in the back. These are just to take some notes, hopefully to just get a few more thoughts about the passage. You can review this afternoon or at your convenience. Matthew chapter number 6. As you're turning to Matthew 6, we're continuing the sermon on the Lord's Prayer. And what we're going to do now is kind of break it down, actually kind of phrase by phrase or section by section, and then Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew 6, I'll read verse 9 here. Jesus talking on the Sermon on the Mount says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Let us pray. Father, teach us today from your word, and may as we understand this and apply it, in Christ's name, amen. The earliest African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular prayer warriors, which we would call they had their hearts were toward devotion. Each one separately had a separate spot in the thicket where he poured out his heart before the Lord, there kind of in the bush. Each one, the several paths to these little places were called Bethels, and they became distinctly marked. When one began to decline from his devotions, it would soon be apparent to everybody else. They would then kindly remind him, saying, and I quote, "Brother, the grass grows on your path yonder." And so what a great way to know about a person's devotional life, because you can see that where they would go in the brush or the woods or the whatever to pray needed to be tended. Today, we're going to do a quick review of the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord talks about prayer here, and he basically gives us these instructions to do not publicly pray to impress men. Verse 5, that's his point, don't be a hypocrite. Verse 6, he tells us to commune with God in prayer, in private prayer. Close your own closet, go to your house, pray to your Father in secret. Verse 7, the Lord Jesus says, do not babble on and on with vain repetitions. Think about what you pray about and talk to God. In other words, think when you pray. What a novel idea. And so think when you pray and talk to God. Number 8, verse 8, his point is trust God when you pray. He knows your needs before you ask him. And I just want to say these are all important principles leading up to the Lord's Prayer to help us to get our mindset correctly on the Lord himself. In your notes today, you'll see that I've got a few blanks. The first one is called the pattern, P, the pattern of prayer. Notice the Lord Jesus in chapter 6, verse 9 of Matthew says, "After this manner, therefore pray." The word manner means as follows or likewise, or as John MacArthur says, pattern. After this pattern, after this manner, likewise, or pray as follows. So he's given us kind of a template or a pattern to express our prayers to God the Father. He uses the word pray, which is a general word for prayer, and notice what he's going to do in the passage. If you take your Bible, you can look up with me. In verse number 9, he says he's praying to the Father, which we'll talk about in just a second, in heaven, and he says the Father's name is hallowed be thy name. Look at verse 10. Then he says, thy kingdom come, then thy will be done. So if you notice what he does in prayer, there's two main thoughts in the prayer. This is all by way of point one introduction. You can write all this down. Notice in verse number 1, he starts with praise and God's name being hallowed or holy. And notice what he does at the end of verse number 13. He ends with praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So the prayer is broken up to praise at the beginning and end. And in the middle, it's petition. The prayer is really two thoughts, praise and petition. If you're looking at the petitions and you want to take these notes, there are 7 petitions in the prayer. Now, over church history, they've differed on these, and I'm not going to split hairs on it. Some people said there's 6 because they combine the last 2, and you can see that with me, where it talks about 13, not leading us into temptation and delivering us from evil. Some people combine the verse 2, some have separated it. I think separating it's better personally. Okay, that's just an errant thought. But they divided it up into 2 things. So 7 petitions, and there's prayer, praise. That's how the is broken up. But there was something I did not never noticed on this, which is so cool. Like, this is just brilliant, which is why the Lord's word is so great. I want you to look with me at the prayer. Who does the prayer start with? God the Father. So the prayer starts in a descending order. It starts with God's name being hallowed and He's in heaven. Then it descends to what? What's the next area it descends to in verse 10? Thy kingdom come. It's coming down to earth. Then what's the next one? Thy will be done on earth. So it's a prayer that is descending from God in heaven to His kingdom, to His will being done on earth. It transitions from God then to man. And now it begins to ascend. Notice how it ascends upward. Look at verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Practical things on earth we need to eat. Verse 12, forgive us our debts. We eat the food, but God's going to have to be the one to forgive the debt. The prayer is going up. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The prayer, then finally, thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. So basically, if you think about the prayer, He makes a V. He starts with God in heaven, comes down to God's will on earth, goes to our bread and our temptations, and goes back up to God in heaven. Isn't that brilliant? Man, God is so smart. And so this is great stuff. He does that. And I just want to I wish I would have come up with that, but I didn't. And so I'm borrowing this, but let me just give you just a quick thought on this, which will help us a little bit, okay? One writer says it well. He says these things. The latter part of this prayer petitions us to an ascending scale from the bodily wants of every day to the final deliverance from all evil. Man, that's great. So when you think about this prayer, you should be thinking about praise and petition, and there are seven petitions, and how He starts with God, comes down to our daily needs of bread, and goes back up to God to deliver us from all the evils, which one day He will when He returns. The next thing, by way of point one, these are just some notes. You have to write these in yourself. They're not on your blanks. Is in Exodus 20, God does the same thing with the Ten Commandments. He starts with God and have no other gods before me. Make no idols to worship them. Don't take my name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to holy. The first four of the Ten Commandments are focused on who? God the Father. The last six are focused on who? Us. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't, you know, commit adultery. And so it's exactly the same. So the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments start with God, go to man. And so it's the same idea in our prayers. We start with God, we go to man, and go back up to God. All right. Now, that's all by way of point one, the pattern of prayer. So now you know at the very minimum, and I understand the acts, the idea if you do an acrostic for prayer, there's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You can use all those. That's fine. But in this prayer, he's just saying there's praise and petition, and he's breaking it up into two patterns. Number two, we see not only the pattern of prayer, number two, the privilege of prayer. Notice what he is going to call God here back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He says that God is our Father, which is in heaven. That should strike us a little bit unique, because generally when you and I say Father, we talk about who? Our earthly Father. Matter of fact, I was just thinking about my dad the other day, and by the way, the older I get, the smarter he gets. Man, it's amazing how smart he was. Man, my dad was smart to do that. And so I've been thinking about some things. You'll have to come for a Father's Day sermon. But so he calls God his Father in heaven, not his Father on earth. And notice what he says here. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, your name is holy. It is to be hallowed. Let me just give you a few thoughts on this, and I have several several things here for, I'm going to give you one quick thing, and then we'll go. I like how one writer says it. He says, this way of calling God our Father, we express His nearness to us. He's our Father. But then when it goes to He's in heaven, we express His distance from us. So He's our Father. He's near us. that he's in heaven, obviously, as well. It's kind of some cool thoughts. Let's go to a few passages. So we want to look about God being our Father here, and I want to go through these because it helps us to pray a little better when we see this. Now, Psalm 68:5 says these words. Great verse. The Bible says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." So you should write, God is a father of the fatherless. In other words, he is going to act that way to those whose dads have passed away. Number two, Isaiah 64:8, he continues this thought about God being a father. Matter of fact, there's a lot of passages about God being father. I've only just given you a few of them on your notes there. Isaiah 64:8 continues this thought by saying these words, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. And we are all the work of thy hand." What is he saying? Well, God is functioning to the nation of Israel as the father of the nation, and he is molding them as clay. Guess what God does to his church? We call him Abba Father in Romans, we'll see in a second, and he's molding and shaping us as well. So in your notes, you should say God is our Father and Creator or molder. He helps to make us who he wants us to be. Matthew chapter 6, we just read this, and your C on your points. God is our Father in prayer. We pray to our Father in prayer. Letter D, Matthew 7:11 talks about God being Father here. In a little different light, Matthew